annals of history.
There has been some mighty trios. Alvin and the Chipmunks, Harry, Ron and Hermione, and the Bee Gees.
Well, sure, there's only one of them now, but you get the drift.
Now, from a small bedroom in Queanbeyan,
these three men will try and make sense of the world with their words. And if words fail them, there's always this.
Ben Edwards with a huge finish!
Well, let's hope it doesn't come to that.
Thanks to the butcher shop, Dixon and Kayleen. Please welcome Scotty, No I Don't Know Why I Got Fired Masters, Ben the Governor Edwards,
and Steve, Golden Tonsils Payos.
Season 2, Episode 3, it's the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. Thanks to the Butcher Shop. I'm Scotty Masters.
I'm Benny Edwards.
And I'm Stevie P.
Boss.
Payos. Yeah, thanks.
Is it Stefan? Stefan?
Oh, look, I've copped many things over the years. Stefan, piss off, you name it.
I like it. I'm going with
Stevie
Stefan.
P, Payos, Payos, Mr. P, you name it. Let's go with that.
Nice. Now, listen, I feel the last sort of couple of weeks, Benny, that we... I mean, we've touched on it a little bit about your fight coming up, but we haven't really touched on it. So I just want to start this week's show off before we get into things. What's going on? You're less than a month out now, about 3 weeks away from the big fight.
2 weeks on Saturday.
It's 2 weeks this Saturday. Yeah. There you go. Yeah. How's it all looking?
I'm ready to go. Yeah. I'm ready to go now.
You're looking good, man.
You're looking gaunt, Benny.
You're covered in bruises.
I'm looking good for me. I'm not anemic. I have been eating plenty of steaks.
Bruised but and skinny.
Quite bruised up. I'm a skinny 124 kilos. I'm fit. I'm strong.
How often are you eating? Once every 3 days or something?
Mate, I'm eating 5,000 calories a day, man. I'm eating tons of food.
Have a go at him. You're looking good, mate.
I just laid off the sugar.
Ian at the butcher shop just put on more cattle out at Ibis Run Property where because he's trying to keep up with Ben.
Mate, it's been outside of a 2 week hiatus when the fight got postponed. It's been a 3 month journey. And mate, as I said, plenty of times, you know, I've had one fight in 18 months. I've learned from all my mistakes where I went wrong. I took that time to sit back, reassess, see what I did right, see what I did wrong. I've put all my 13 years of experience into practice and. Yep. The results already are and will speak for themselves on the night.
All right, it's been very quiet on Facebook between you and Mr. Sassoli. How's that all going?
Yeah, it's all good. I got a phone call on the way to training tonight.
Yeah.
We had a deal because the UFC rules are it's 120 kilo cutoff.
Yeah, that's right. 265 pounds,
correct.
Isn't it?
Yeah, that's correct. So Brandon called the promoter tonight and said he's not going to make weight.
Oh, really?
He said he might be able to make 128 kilos.
What do you mean? So,
yeah, 8 kilos
over. Yeah, so Shane told me, and I said, I don't care. You can weigh in 140 as long as you show up, man. I'm going to make 120 because that's what I agreed to do, and that's what if I want to make the UFC, that's what I have to do.
Does he lose some of his purse?
It should be 20%.
Yeah.
So we've put that to him, so I'm still waiting to hear back. I don't care. I reckon I deserve 20%, but I'd rather him show up.
Okay.
I don't care what he weighs. Just show up, man.
Yeah, it'd be a bit disappointing if he pulled out because he couldn't make weight and you've gone through all of this
ready
to go.
I mean, it's happened to me before with Donnie Lester. Donnie Lester requested 120 kilo cut of the cage fight that pops
and
up on
what,
Facebook.
What, did he come in at about 140?
He was 128. I cut 8 kilos on the day. I was pretty fat. But I felt like shit and looked real gaunt in the face. 8 kilos of water.
Yeah, that's huge.
On the day. That's a lot. I was just in the salt bath all day and my mates were rubbing credit cards all over me and stuff, scraping the water off. it was pretty gay.
I was waiting for him to clarify what that was.
The mates were scraping the card over me. At least he called and said, you know, I'm not going to make it.
Yeah.
I'd rather him do that than just pull out or something.
You want him there at the end of the day.
As long as he shows up, I don't care what he weighs, mate.
Yeah, okay. Well, there you go. It's going to be an interesting night. I hope you've got my corporate table tickets with you.
I have them.
But you left them at home, didn't you?
Of course I did.
Fantastic. That's all right. I'll get them next week.
As expected.
Hey, at least he was on time this week, Stevie.
BAU, Scotty.
All the stress is
good, mate. Business as usual.
Vast Planet Athletic Endeavour is coming up. We're going to kick off the show with that this week. So we're going to sort of move things around. Yeah, this year we're going to move things around.
Yeah.
What are you going to shake, boys?
We're starting at the top and then we'll finish. Are we finishing with me?
We will be this week, yes.
Oh, man, everyone's going to turn off. Once I hear Payos, it's over.
You're always a good finisher, mate.
Are you going to?
That's what she said.
Thank you very much.
Are you going to touch on Origin, Steve?
Absolutely. Okay, yeah. Right, bit of Origin talk. Plenty in rugby league. Also Formula One over the weekend was fantastic. Good to see a bit of spice back there.
Yeah.
Great performance from a young Aussie tennis player.
Touching
well
on Toussaint
over the weekend, and we'll talk briefly on Dave Toussaint. Yeah, I think we covered that quite well last week. We'll make a quick mention of him before the big final.
I saw him
weekend.
Today.
Nice.
Yeah. I was reading about him in the paper at the coffee shop. I'm in a good little routine now. I go hang out at the coffee shop in Charney out the back by myself.
Yeah.
With like the big creepy guy. I'm reading about Toussaint in the paper, then I walk out the front. He's there waiting for coffee.
Excellent.
Perfect.
Canberra.
Mate. What a town. It's a fighting mecca.
Well, you had no choice, did you?
Oh, you growing fight or you move to Isaac's.
On the
you win Lotto and you move to Isaac's.
Isaac's full of pussies. Yeah. Charwood's full of boxes.
Just doctors and prostitutes.
North Korea's on Twitter. I'll be taking a bit of a look at that one. And Benny, obviously, Charles Sonnen and your friend.
Bellator, man. There was a double knockdown, crazy stuff, and an unsettled grudge match.
Mm.
And on top of that, we were at the UFC Fight Night 112. There was a terrible stoppage in the main event. There was the second fastest KO debutant win in the UFC. It was awesome. Former champs, Massey Fall from Grace continues.
Yep.
And a chick shit herself.
And a very messy moment as well.
Took it like a champ.
I love watching the replay.
What is she comment about the fight?
Shit happens.
Exactly.
I just love watching the replay.
She's a kickboxer chick. Mate, if anyone... I'll talk on
her. All right, you see the ref walking around the ring and the ref stood in it.
Yeah.
You see him standing in it.
She shit on the other chick's leg. The poor girl, man. That would never happen to me because I don't know if girls wear like a bean protector. Is that what you call it?
Yeah, they wear.
There's 8,000 nerve endings in that little fucker.
Is there?
Yeah, we've only got 4,000 nerve endings in our knob. Chicks have 8,000 nerve endings in that.
Fantastic, Ben.
Biology with Benny.
You wear a cup though, Benny. Like the chicks wear the same sort
of
thing.
I don't know. Oh, do they?
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. Well, you making?
But I'm just saying,
kick straight in there would be nice.
Well, proverbially, I would usually say hold my shit in, but to hold my junk in,
yeah.
I wear like two pairs of
weight. The girls wear a cup. It prevents the mountain pound.
Wow. But when I'm fighting, I wear like two pairs of way too small undies to hold my junk in there.
Stevie's lost it.
Scotty.
What so a great podcast. It looked like she only had a pair of Speedos on.
Yeah,
so with me, man, no one had ever known. My first street fight, I actually shit myself, man.
Yeah.
Literally shit myself. Yeah. Woke up the next day, broken hand, and dry shit. And then I went to hospital.
No shower after the fight.
No, I was pissed, man. I was dry.
So you woke up all night with undies full of poo.
I was staying at a mate's house. In Queanbeyan, actually. In Queanbeyan. I was playing for the Blues.
That explains a lot of what happened here when Ben House sat, doesn't
it? Yeah. Anyway, it wasn't my shit, man.
Now we're understanding it more and more.
Let's get stuck into some music, shall we? Saw these boys at the Basement about 2 months ago from Melbourne. 12-Foot Ninja. Not only a great band name, but an absolutely sensational band live. This is some good Aussie stuff. It's Point of View to kick off the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast with Scotty, Stevie and Benny, thanks to the crew at the Butcher Shop.
Back to
last planet
of athletic endeavour.
Can you record the Usain Bolt?
Australia won the toss and they're going to bowl.
Scored in brilliant goals.
Nice hole in one on the PGA Tour.
Take it away, Stevie.
Thank you very much, boys, and thank you to our wonderful sponsors at The Butcher Shop, Dixon and Kayleen. Benny, you want to say
something
quickly?
I've got my
hand
in the air. Yeah. Weren't we supposed to do a back announce outside of the song?
Actually, yeah, we were, Benny.
That was 12 Foot Ninja with Point of View. This is the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. Scotty, me and Stevie P.
Brought to you by
The Butcher Shop.
Yes!
He's on fire.
Back Benny. To the vast planet.
I will just say, my back's out to lunch, so I'm actually sitting on a hot water bottle and I'm dosed up to the eyeballs on pain med, so I could get a bit loose today.
I like loose, Scotty.
Yeah, he's good.
He's angry and on drugs.
Yeah.
They're my favourite kind of people.
And you're on fire after training. I love it, Benny. We're good. We're pumped, mate. We're going good, man. We're good. We're good. Plenty going on in the world of sport, boys. World of sport. We'll start rugby league. There's so much going on in the world of rugby league. First of all, we'll touch on State of Origin last week. You know what? Mr. Masters. At 78 minutes, I predicted 16-12, I'm pretty sure. If we check the recording from last week, I'm pretty sure my prediction was 16-12, and we end up losing 18-16.
Means you're wrong.
Yes. Did you say, let me finish, what I was going to say was I was very close to predicting the score correctly in a tight one, a New South Wales win, but unfortunately it wasn't to be for us.
You just got the score wrong and who won the game wrong.
That's it. Apart from that, though, mate, you know, the punters paid me out on nothing.
But no, I just what a disappointing game from a Blues fan's
absolutely,
perspective.
Scotty.
What have we had? We've had four halves of State of Origin this year,
yeah,
and the Blues have been the far better team
for three
of those.
Easy.
And we're still 1-1
Andrew
going into the final
meltdown.
Game.
That's
Andrew
right.
Andrew Johns did have a meltdown, and rightly so.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened.
I think Johnny Lang said it best. He goes, now New South Wales knows what it's like to support the Raiders.
I mean, Benny, have you ever been in a position in a fight, and this is what Joey pointed out with Jonathan Thurston. He was stuffed. His shoulder was gone. You get the hint in a fight before a ref steps in that one of your opponents is injured. Do you go after what's injured?
100%.
Of course you do.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. They let him off the hook.
Massively.
Yeah, the number one player in the game who's injured.
Yeah.
Not even a question, is it? That's what you should be doing. And
yeah.
And I think going in at halftime, I was personally so confident as well. I thought the back 20 minutes of that first half was the best rugby league I've seen for a very long time from New South Wales.
But what a difference between the first half. Just in player attitude.
Well, they dropped their lollies.
I think that's what it is. Complacency. That's what it was. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it cost us the game. So unfortunately, we go back up to Suncorp now. A Jonathan Thurston-less Queensland for game three. One of the big talking points I wanted to talk about, which was in the media in the last couple of days, is Daly Cherry-Evans. He's probably the half-back in the comp at the moment, playing some great footy. And I'm a Manly fan, but never mind that.
Did he last play when the Blues won the series? It was, wasn't it? Didn't he fill in then because Croak broke his arm in game one?
2014, I think.
DCE
it was,
came
on.
In for game two, and that's when,
So he's
been a bit tarnished, like Terry Campese, Jared Mullen were for the Blues. You know, you come in as a playmaker, lose a game, you're gone.
Albeit that year, though, when Daly came in, New South Wales already won game one. He came in and New South Wales were just too good in game two as well, back in New South Wales in Sydney to win it. So he's been much maligned. I want to know what you boys think about the comments that have been circulating in the paper that there's senior players who don't actually like him and they haven't forgiven him for what he did on that backflip on the Gold Coast a few years ago because he was scheduled to go up backflipped at the last minute, took a massive 10-year deal at that Manly.
Yeah, $10 million 10-year deal
at
Manly.
That's correct, to play at Manly. But now he is really showing the form that he can produce. He was part of the premiership winning side.
He's the reason Manly's top four now.
That's right.
Yeah.
He was brilliant against the Sharks on Sunday. He was fantastic.
Yep.
And, you know, he's starting to show the form. He was a premiership winner back in 2011, but now he's front and centre.
Yeah.
So what's your thoughts on that? I don't understand why a player issue, if it is there at all. Kevvy Walters has rubbished it, but I mean,
How much importance do you put on being a gun player and also being a team player where guys look up to you?
Maybe it's not so much a team player as it is the team chemistry. I think that's the issue here.
Yeah, and I mean, that's what Queensland claims to have built over the last 10 years, like this, you know, live and die for the team culture that Mal Meninga brought into
it. I reckon they've always had that, but I think
the last few years, like especially they've hung shit on New South Wales every year. Oh, we've got the culture, we're, you know, patriotic about our jersey, we'll die for it, all that sort of stuff. So if, I guess from the Queensland point of view, if there's a guy that's, you know, backflips over money and things like that, like, oh, is that a guy we want playing with
us? It's against the whole cultural thing, that's right. And that's a fair
point. Who do you put in
there?
Michael Morgan, do you put in Chambers from the Storm?
Moses
Mbai's
being talked about as well. I mean, there's all sorts of players that have been bandied about as options. And yeah, Morgan has been in and around the setup now for a few years.
Yeah,
so
and
he's
Chambers, like from the Storm.
Yeah.
Obviously with Cameron Smith and Kronk. and Slater,
mm-hmm.
that's going to work
but
it's well.
Easy, when it's does easy he to play say. There on the weekend, though? He never plays there on the
true.
Weekend.
That's well, he does when people are out.
Wow.
I guarantee you.
Yeah. How regular. Yeah,
a few true. Of the guys that are bagging out Cherry Evans, I reckon, if they got offered a $10 million 10-year deal.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's the thing.
But
that's,
the thing was, Benny, he did nothing wrong. He did it before the deadline was up. I guess it was the old school handshake agreement. All right, I'm coming up there, you know, pen to paper, started looking for
a house. But there's
a
lot of stuff like behind the scenes where they think, even with his answers in the press, obviously that's not behind the scenes, but very robotic, rehearsed answers to...
Yeah, but that's rugby league.
But you reckon he's a bit like that? Yeah, but they reckon he's like another level. He's like that even with some of his mates and stuff. Like, he doesn't really let people in.
You'd know from experience too with the fight, Benny, is that until it's actually signed that you're going to fight this guy, there can be all the speculation in the world. Mayweather was fighting McGregor for about
Pacquiao was fighting Amir Khan before Jeff Horn.
Absolutely he was. In Dubai, it was all done, remember? Yeah. So until these things are signed up, and maybe that's ratified by the NRL as well in that situation, deadline passing. So DC, he does get picked for game three. I guess we'll find out next weekend. But he's the form halfback at the moment, on fire. Also in NRL news, a lot of talk this week about the West Tigers being on the extinction list, which is a bit sad. There's talk that what they want to do is
we'll
get
move
rid of
them.
Or move them, get rid of a Sydney team to create a second Brisbane team. The talk is that's the step the NRL needs to take.
Put it this way, if you started the NRL right now, right from scratch, you wouldn't put 9 teams in Sydney.
No, you wouldn't.
You wouldn't do
Absolutely not.
You wouldn't do it.
You'd put 5, maybe 6, to be honest, and you'd try and spread it around.
Yeah, I mean, you've got Gosford. That's an option. Mm-hmm. You've got Brisbane. Brisbane's big enough to support 2 teams. And then you've got the Gold Coast, and then you've got, so Queensland probably should have a 4th
with
team.
Such a big TV pool as well.
Bring back the Crushers, man.
I don't believe
South Queensland.
I don't believe we should have Perth or Adelaide. I know the NRL is hell-bent on expanding across the nation to rival the AFL, but I think we're strongest up and down the eastern seaboard.
Absolutely. And not to mention as well, you look at the strength of the TV on a Friday night, for example. They're talking about making sure you get that market on Friday night, a game out of Suncorp every single week as well, because Queensland only have 2 teams, or 3 teams, excuse me, with Gold Coast as well, representing them in the NRL. But they're so strong in terms of fans getting involved and the player participation as well. So
I'd be happy to see a team either moved, but that's the problem, is a Queenslander going to support the West Tigers, playing out of Ipswich or wherever? You don't know.
That's right.
The Logan Tigers. Yeah,
so I'd be curious to see how that one plays out. I don't know if there's going to be any merit to it. I think what they want to do is get that Queensland team in, but they don't want to muck about with the integrity of the comp and have 17 teams have a bye.
That'd be sad, the Tigers, because that's the Magpies
Mate,
as well.
Well, that's exactly right, Ben. You've got 2 famous, former premiership winning clubs in Balmain.
Yeah. Were they both opening?
Balmain wasn't. Balmain started 50s. In the 50s or that's 60s, I think.
West were around from pretty early
West,
on, I think.
Newcastle was in the competition in 1908.
Yeah?
Yeah, when they first started.
Nice, but, on that's informed.
But it took 4 days. Thanks, Ben. It took 4 days to get from Newcastle to bloody Sydney. Back on the old Red Rattlers. But it'll be interesting to see where they go with it. But I don't think Sydney can sustain 9 teams.
Yeah, not for now anyway. No. And I think that's the way it's going with all the sport there is in Sydney as well. That's the problem there. Finally, Rugby League boys, the Raiders, their season is teetering on the brink of a disaster now.
Yeah.
Still only 1 win outside the 8 based solely on points.
Are they 11th or 10th?
11th, I'm pretty sure it's 11th. And only 2 points outside the 8, which is 1 win.
Yeah.
But
they only need to string together a couple of wins, but there seems to be a few issues within the squad, doesn't there?
That's exactly right. Yeah, some players that don't seem to be gelling on the field. The halves, I think, are not playing as well as what they did last year. Cesar and Austin don't look like the gelled unit that they were last year. And lacking a bit of the forward punch that we had last year. Injuries in the forward pack as well haven't helped the boys. Papali's been off the last few weeks, I think. He was a little poor in Origin.
He was,
I felt. He's still a great player.
Oh, no doubt.
And players have their... Yeah, Shannon Boyd as well is a massive loss for the Raiders.
Yeah, that's right. Leilua, and obviously with no Paul Vaughan's backup anymore, who's been the form...
He's almost in Origin.
He's out for 3 or 4 weeks though, because he's done his hammy.
Yeah,
so he did that in the first minute of the game the other day. But it was good footage the other day. Leilua basically calling Austin a greedy f***ing cunt on TV, and you saw it.
Whoa!
Right, so because he didn't pass, and then Leilua scored in the next set. But for the same token, Leilua was a turnstile on the weekend. He let in about bloody 4 tries.
Their edge has been poor, though. That edge of his has been poor for a very long time.
That's why I've always said he's not ready for Origin. Everyone, put Joe Leilua. He's the most damaging three-quarter in the comp. Yeah, but he can't tackle.
Yeah, can he defend?
His defence is terrible.
That's right. And that's where the issue lies there for the Raiders. But they're in a position now. They've got a funny stretch home now. They've got, I think it's... The next 4 games are at home, I believe. There's a bye in there as well.
Yeah, it's
they're
a weird setup.
Away
for Raiders.
3, home for 2, and away for 1 to finish the season. So it's
final game against Melbourne.
That's right.
I've got one thing to add.
Ad.
I got told by a drunk guy I look like Blake Austin.
Yeah, you look like if he was a Viking warrior.
I said, yeah. that's what I said.
That's what he goes, mate.
You just played 2 hours ago. What are you doing working here?
He shouldn't have let him in because he was obviously pissed if he thought you were playing.
It was a compliment. Yeah, it was good.
Enter, sir. Shall I riposte? Says Edwards. So that's rugby league, boys. Plenty going on there. Formula One on the weekend was fantastic. Yeah. Daniel Ricciardo produced one of the great drives. He had to pit.
Is he the form guy?
Nah, I wouldn't say he's a form guy in Formula 1.
But you know what? The fact that he's not, and he's not in the best team either.
And he's kicking
ass. The fact that he can win, you imagine him.
He's consistent, Benny, and that's a fair call in the sense that he's been on the podium 3 times before in a row, I think it was, and now he's finally... So he's gone third, and first in the last 4 races.
And it's not his first GP either. He's won a couple.
He's won a couple, that's right. That's it. So he won in Azerbaijan on the weekend. The big talk...
Is that how you say it?
Azerbaijan, yep. Baku was
I thought it was Azerbaijan.
Azerbaijan.
It just depends on what.
I have no idea.
It just depends on what school you got thrown out of.
Yeah, that's right. Phonetically. Got thrown out of Radford.
Azerbaijan.
I say silent G, Benny, but
Azerbaijan. I went from the best school in Canberra to the worst. Radford to Melbourne.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
The school of hard knocks.
Struggled there.
Great win by Ricciardo. But the big talking point was Hamilton and Vettel afterwards. Massive spat, you know, running into each other, you know, arms in the air, driving, you know, arse and rear-ending each other.
That's it. Yeah, Vettel is a cock.
They go wheel-to-wheel?
Yeah, they did. Yeah, they went side by side. Vettel went straight up his bum and then went past him and then ran into him as well. So it was all happening. It was fantastic.
I just wish Mark Webber had punched him out a couple of years ago.
Yeah, we said that last week.
Would have put Queanbeyan on the map.
Yeah.
It really would have.
What are your boys' thoughts on that? I think it's fantastic for the sport.
Good for
I think
sport.
To have
Definitely
a great rivalry sport. Like that again in F1 is absolutely brilliant. To have the guys head-to-head. And
brings back Senna and that other douche. Who was that? I watched his documentary.
From the movie. Oh, God. That was awesome. I'm on too many pain meds for my brain to remember.
Senna and the
Rat
douche,
Face.
Man.
Rat Face.
I don't think that's his name.
Not
man.
No, but that's what he called
Senna,
him.
Senna and the douche.
That's a good doco, man.
That's the one. Yeah. I think it's great.
Google it, man.
I think it's great for Formula One to see two guys going at it so hard. Top of the Vettel is a very strange character. When you listen to him, Niki Lauda.
Lauda and James Hunt, and then Lauda and Senna had the big. That's who
Lauda and James Hunt was from Rush. Yeah. That was from Rush, the movie.
What a great movie that was.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, great story as well from those guys.
Well, people get emotionally invested, man, when there's actually a bit of a real rivalry.
Yeah.
Look at all the biggest UFC fights, man. It's two guys.
But Hamilton was saying, if you've got a problem, buddy, let's go do it face to face. If there's a real issue, otherwise get back in the car and off we go. So it's created some enthusiasm ahead of the next race as well, which is
Where's
fantastic.
That?
I'm not sure, to be honest. It'll be back in Europe, I think. Yeah, back
it'll
in
be
Europe.
On a racetrack somewhere.
Azerbaijan,
ben.
Azerbaijan being in Europe, but I think it comes back up to your European circuit now. Like you'll get your Silverstones and Spa and that sort of stuff. No, unfortunately, mate, there's no Skopje Grand Prix. The Skopje Grand Prix. So that was great news in Formula One. Obviously, Daniel Ricciardo winning was great for Australia. So good to see him drink out of his shoe at the end of the race. That was brilliant. First test, British and Irish Lions against New Zealand was last weekend. Fantastic game of rugby. British and Irish Lions were confident they could get something out of the game. Warren Gatland talked his side up, and then they came out and ended up getting spanked in the end by New Zealand, proving that they are simply the best.
Oh, they're the best sporting team
I've ever seen in my life by a mile.
Yep.
The field, off the field, their culture is amazing. There's been some great documentaries you probably like, Benny, about the way that their culture is as well.
That's religion.
And interesting, what do you think about this, boys? There's a big spat that came out after the game where Gatland went on radio to accuse the Kiwi boys of being doing the wrong thing, like doing some illegal things on the pitch as well, and Steve Hansen riposted as well. It was all over the radio. It was fantastic. So good to see a bit of heat there. Everyone's looking forward to game two, but I can't see anything other than
the best team you've ever seen.
Absolutely, mate. Their
win-loss record. It's amazing.
Over time, Benny, their win-loss percentage over time in the history of time is like 87 or 88%. Like they win almost 9
Do you put it down to several
games.
Gun players or just the whole team's just gelling?
New Zealand rugby
solid.
As a whole is unbelievably well-run.
Let's be honest. My brother-in-law's a Kiwi. What else is there to do over there? You root sheep and you play rugby.
I wasn't going to go there.
It was coming.
But that's the thing. Kids grow up. and it's just like, I want to play for the All Blacks.
I met Jonah Lomu.
That's what they do. The kids,
Jonah Lomu nearly broke my hand, man.
What a legend he was, Jonah.
I don't doubt it.
Fucking hurt my hand.
Mate, the succession of wingers have had, that. There's an example you could look at. After Lomu, they've had guys like Rokotoko, Savia now on the wing, and Ioane, Rico Ioane kept Savia out of the team on the weekend, and Savia is a monster. He's like the next Jonah Lomu as such, and he was kept out of the team on the weekend by Rico
Ioane. It's a good problem to have.
Great problem to have. So interesting to see how that next test shapes up this weekend in Wellington, but I can't see anything other than an All Blacks victory.
Austrian Grand Prix is the next one,
Austrian, there you go. Yeah, so back into the old traditional F1 circuit now. Silverstone will be coming up, I'd say, and Spa in Belgium and those ones. Great result for Ash Barty over the weekend, young Australian tennis player. She made the final of the Aegon Championships in Birmingham, lost to Petra Kvitova, who herself came back from getting stabbed in a knife attack going back 6 months ago.
She did it, Monica Seles.
What is it?
Had a hand injury and came back and won. But
that reminds
me
of that old joke. You know, you keep beer in beer cellars, wine in wine cellars. Where do you keep knives? Monica Seles.
Jesus.
That's a great joke.
Flatlining.
What was the story behind her knife attack?
I'm not sure exactly.
Is she hot?
She's Czech. I mean,
she has to.
She's a bitch.
They all are.
She's Czech.
She has to be.
That's code for nut.
Czech chicks are glamorous.
No, but that's Steve's code for no.
How do you answer that?
Well, it's subjective, Benny.
Okay. Yeah. She's not listed.
She's attractive, yeah.
We've seen some of the horror shows.
She's not as good as Eugenie Bouchard, let me say. In my opinion of what
Eugenie Bobby Bouchard.
Bobby Boucher.
I have some high quality H2O.
Yeah. Some highest quality H2O. Yeah, so I'm not sure the exact details of the attack, Benny, but I think it could have been a home invasion or something like that. I think something like that. So she came back and won, which was fantastic. She's a two-time Wimbledon champion, Kvitova, former world number one. And for Aussie Ash Barty to get to the final was a fantastic achievement. Wimbledon starts next week. Our favourite mate, Nick Kyrgios, has said he's going to be fit after pulling out of the tournament.
But will he be a flog?
Yeah, that's the question.
Yeah,
you boys hate him, don't you?
I just think he's a tool. He's got all the talent in the world and he carries on like an arsehole.
Yeah.
I don't know, mate, some of those games,
you ever walk out into a fight and halfway through you go, I'm not going to throw punches anymore, I'm over this, because that's what he does.
That's why I had money in the bank like he did. It may be.
I don't know, but he's
a young guy in the public spotlight.
Right, listen, I get all that, trust me, you know, but I don't know. You've got that God-given talent that he's got as a tennis player. Now, you all reckon he's going to win Grand Slams.
That's right.
That's just disrespectful.
Yeah.
I don't disagree with anything you're saying. I think when he tanked was the worst for me. I always stood up for him, and a lot of people give me stick for
I
that
I did
game.
For ages when I was on the radio, man. Stood up for him heaps. Had his brother on the show going, tell everyone to get stuff. Canberra's right behind him. Did that for a good 12, 18 months, and then he just kept doing it.
Yeah, the tanking when that sort of stuff is what really hurt. I was like, okay, well, how can I defend this anymore? You know, when you got
what's tanking, just giving up.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. It's like
what was that thing you said the other week? Possum.
Possum playing fox.
Yeah, yeah.
Foxing.
Yeah.
Foxing. 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 Yeah. What's all the where these words possum. Coming from, man?
Australia.
Is this a thing?
Australia.
Don't Australia. Tank. Don't tank Australia or fox.
That's where.
But yeah, it'll be interesting. I'll be the first one to congratulate him if he wins over there. But you know. Who knows what's going to happen?
That's it. Yeah. Finally, boys, I'm not sure if you saw Jordan Spieth chipped in on the first extra hole to win the Travelers Championship over the weekend. It was fantastic. He basically, out of a bunker, had to chip in and nail the chip. Like, we're talking, 30-foot chip here, out of the bunker, rolled it in, went, big celebration with his caddy. He's the most successful golfer in terms of tournament wins at his age, apart from Tiger Woods.
Correct.
So he's doing really well, Jordan Spieth. They reckon he brings a bit of excitement back after what was a boring US Open a few weeks ago. In terms of no controversy and not much high scoring, a lot of the big names bombed out early.
Yeah.
So congratulations to him. It was a great shot. I think more than anything, just to see that shot to win a tournament.
Where's he from?
He's an American. Yeah, he's American. So it'd be like nailing a kick from 55 to win. You know what I mean? Something like that in the last minute. It was a beautiful shot. Exactly. So
like winning at Madison Square Garden with 8 seconds to go.
I like it. He's your new favorite golfer. So that's it, boys. Wide World of Sport. Plenty more to talk about. But
Wide World of Sport. Oh, you're going to get the lawyers involved?
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
Hit the music. Herb Albert.
Thank you very much, Herb Albert.
Yeah. No, we don't need it for that.
So that's it, boys. Plenty going on in our vast planet of athletic endeavour.
There we go.
And plenty more to talk about when I'm back in a few weeks' time.
The Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast is recorded in a bedroom
in front of one very disinterested diamond python
and occasionally a ginger cat called Alan.
Alan!
Oh, that's not Alan. Steve.
The Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast with Scotty, Ben and Steve.
It's time to talk The Butcher Shop, our wonderful sponsors of the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. Just before the mics went on, Ben's going, I smell a bit, man. You don't smell as good as The Butcher Shop does, Benny.
Not at all, man. And I was in there yesterday talking. I saw Ian.
Did you? Was he in there?
He saw was, man.
Excellent. How's he going?
He's not in a good way, man, but he's tough as nails.
He is.
He'll be all right. We're comparing zigzag scars where they go search for the tendon. I got one in my finger. I cut my finger off with a steak knife when I was a kid eating an apple. Long story. I'm not even joking, man.
Check really?
Out, man. Yeah.
You zigzags, cut your finger off?
Jeez. Yeah,
with a steak knife eating an apple.
I don't f*** around, man. But I did it. Why was I in there, you ask? Because I did a shop, man. They got new chicken things with all stuff in them, and I had two of them yesterday. It was awesome.
I love that you just don't know that, but you know the main protein source.
Give me two of them. See you next week.
Well, I've got Sherry's cousins minding the house for us on Saturday because I've got a gig.
Well, you didn't ring Benny?
No. We got a gig out at Parks and she's gone, oh, you don't have to pay us, but maybe you could get us some bacon for the next morning. And I said, I'll get you some bacon, all right. So I'm going to get them both kinds
of
bacon.
Did you get me bacon and all? How sick, man.
I need someone here Saturday night, Benny. You're working till 4 a.m. chasing young punks.
I'm off to the fight, man.
Oh, are you?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, I'll keep that in mind for the following weekend.
And I might even clean the shit up off the rug.
But the Butcher Shop, folks, if you haven't been in there, it is Canberra's best meat, hands down. 100% Australian pork. Everything is supplied locally. And it's absolutely sensational. And Ian's got a property now out at Yass where he's working on his own cattle. He's had his own Wagyu before.
Yeah, full beef. Yeah, show me photos, man.
Yeah, it looks amazing.
Cows galore.
Ibis Run Pastoral Company is the name of that. So there'll be plenty of stuff coming out of there shortly to the butcher shop shelves as well.
Yeah, so I shall be eating it.
Dixon and Kayleen. Dixon's open 6 days. Kayleen is open 7. Get in there and get it down your neck.
The podcast you are listening to is all true.
Proving once again that the truth is not pretty. Just like its hosts.
The Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast with Scotty, Ben and Steve.
This is the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. Coming up shortly, we've got Benny's Biff-O-Rama. Plenty to talk about, as we mentioned before. And now we go on to you, Scotty, with your top five.
Indeed.
And as you said, Benny...
Last week was the best one ever. So
thanks, pressure. You got some work to do, Scotty.
Yeah, my drummer texted me last Friday morning going, best top five ever. And last week's top five took about 3.5 minutes to write.
Mate,
so there you go.
So did Stairway to Heaven.
It's a 7-minute song.
You heard me. Not when you're typing that fast.
North Korea has been in the news of late because, let's be honest, Kim Jong-un is telling anyone who'll listen that he's going to nuke them off the map if they make fun of him.
Do his own people even see his Twitter? Because there's only like 30 websites on the North Korean internet.
Yeah, I know. It's bizarre over there, isn't it?
It really is the true definition.
We love the leader.
Yeah.
It is, mate.
Yeah, that's right. That's it. Dear leader, you know, they grow up believing all of that crap.
If they had any natural resources, they would have been wiped off the map 50 years ago.
Man. Oh, without a doubt.
For sure.
But yeah, there's now even more disturbing news because they've got a new Twitter account and it looks legit because I checked it out. Yeah, it's got all the things you'd expect because they had one years ago that got shut down by Twitter, but the new one's got everything you'd expect.
What for? Propaganda?
Firstly, it's in Korean, which is big tick. Secondly, it loves the dear leader, Kim Jong-un, and it's a big fan of oppression of the masses. So it ticks all the boxes. So with the help of Google Translate, I translated some of the tweets to present you with this.
And now, it's another Give Yourself an Uppercut.
Top 5. Top five.
It is the top 5 tweets from North Korea.
Pressure's on, Scotty.
So hang on, Scotty. It's just North Korea is in the government. North Korea, overarching governmental Twitter account.
Yes. So basically like Donald Trump's one. With less spelling mistakes. So,
the propaganda machine.
Called Fifi.
Fifi.
Yeah, all right. Coming at number 5, at rest of the world. I know you are, but what am I? All right.
This is true.
All right, number 4, last warning, at South Korea. Keep your dog off our lawn or we'll eat it. Just in the demilitarized zone.
That's a strange part of the world.
They all eat it. They offered us dog when I was over there.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So we didn't have a dog roll.
No dog, man.
In South Korea?
Yeah, the night before I flew over and we went out to this Korean barbecue.
Yep.
And as like a
Yep.
Delicacy. They said, "Oh, do you want to try some?" And I'm like, "Nah, no f***ing way."
You wouldn't give it a go?
Nah.
I would.
In Japan, we went to
I'd try it.
Well, it's not taboo there. Like it's what they do. Yeah. It's a very different.
Nah, man, each their own, but not for me.
You wouldn't try a dog. Okay, there you go. Number three in the top five tweets from North Korea. Just saw True Grit again, thinking of changing my name to Kim Jong Wayne, # original gangster.
That's how he looks at himself, eh?
Oh,
is that the one with the movie collection, or was that his dad?
Oh, I think that was Kim Jong Il. I think that was Kim Jong Il. Yeah.
Do you reckon he's seen Team America?
Oh, God, I hope Kim Jong Il.
David Letterman used to absolutely spray Kim Jong Il. He used to get on there and just, remember when
have you seen David Letterman lately?
He looks like Santa.
Yeah,
well, is he bearded up?
Yeah, no, he's bearded up. He's just got this huge beard. Well, remember the TV show Grizzly Adams?
No.
He looks like an anorexic version of Grizzly Adams.
But if you have to maintain your appearance for TV sake, for what, how long? 25 years? Oh, that's it.
You're letting go.
As soon as I'm off the air, you can do what you want. Mate, you would. You'd go crazy. You'd have hair like Scotty and a beard like Santa.
Number two, plan for world domination continues now that Kim Jong-un has inherited $20 million from rich Nigerian uncle. Too legit to quit. No?
Straight off the hotmail.
Benny's shaking his head. And number one, where is it? There it is. There's the drum roll. In the top five tweets from the new North Korean Twitter account, at Chuck Norris, glorious leader is lounging in PJs waiting to kick your capitalist ass.
He believes it, man.
You're listening to the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast.
Thanks to the Butcher Shop, Dixon and Kayleen.
He's put more people to sleep in the ring than you've had hot dinners. He's faced the biggest and meanest dudes on the planet.
Another dramatic finish here as Ben Edwards comes from behind. Wow!
So now it's time for Ben's Biff-a-rama.
That's insane in the membrane.
Biff-a-rama time, Benny. Hit me.
Okay. Let's start off with the belator, as old drugged up Scotty.
I was doing it phonetically, mate.
Mate, what are your thoughts on belator?
Belator 180. The Bellator company had their first pay-per-view and first show at Madison Square
Garden.
Can I
just quickly segue? I'm really sorry before we get into it.
That's right. I interrupted you.
No.
You always interrupt everyone, Benny. It's fine.
No, not at all. He never does that. Now, all I want to say was just really quickly before you get really in deep as you do.
I'm going balls
deep. It was good to see some Bellator stuff on Main Event. Like, they had the full preview first shows like the 24/7s, mate. Fantastic.
I didn't even know it was going to be on Main Event until 11:30. Oh, shit. I didn't see any advertising.
Last week. Yeah.
I saw the countdown show. I didn't see any advertising at all.
It's good to see Bellator.
Because I watch everything on YouTube. I didn't know it was actually going to be an Australian Main Event.
It's good to see that Bellator now is encroaching on that market.
That's good.
They're getting involved.
It's going to be better for the sport.
And the 24/7 was fantastic.
And their production is so different to the UFC. They got the ramp walkout, the video montages before like the top five fights on the main card.
Yeah.
It's actually very well done.
I like
it. Nice.
And the first fight I wanted to talk about was the 33-year-old Zach Freeman, who came into the fight as a 10-fight veteran. He was 8-2, taking on Aaron Pico, this 21-year-old phenom, taking on the full-time...
The Undertaker!
this Zach Freeman guy, who's pretty much just brought in as a boy
to punch him back.
So Zach Freeman's a full-time air conditioner and heater installer. taking on the US national champion in all three styles of wrestling, being folk style, freestyle, and Greco-Roman.
Yeah.
And on top of that, he was the national junior Golden Gloves champion.
Yeah, so
this
fight,
kid's got hands and punch can wrestle. They had so much hype behind him. Yeah. All the fighters were tweeting about him. It all got derailed in less than a minute when Zach tagged this kid with an uppercut, rocked him bad, and sunk on a guillotine choke like 30 seconds into the fight.
Done.
Mate, huge upset. I don't know. I couldn't find what the odds were, but it would have been crazy odds.
Yeah.
But you can tell the kid's a seasoned athlete. He took the loss like a champ, said all the right things at the press conference, and he certainly will be back. And he's in pretty good company with top fighters that have lost their first fight. Bada Hari got knocked out horribly in his first fight.
Yep.
Bad. The former pound-for-pound number one, Heenan Barreal. Cyborg Santos, the baddest chick in the world. The former UFC light heavyweight champion, Rafael Dos Anjos. Mark Hunt lost his first MMA fight. Former UFC heavyweight champion, Andrei Arlovsky, lost his first fight. Forrest Griffin. The list goes on and on. Okay. So he's 21 years old.
It's not a career.
He'll be back. No worries at all.
Yep.
Now, going on to the semi-main event, which ended up being the third last fight, which is weird. They put in a swing bout right before the main event, which is really weird, but at least it's different. So Fedor the best heavyweight ever, 40
years old. You've always loved
old.
Him, haven't you, Benny? He's mate, always been in your mind. No, the all-time great.
He won like a champ. He goes for the kill.
Man, and he's got all the words. No, very
mate,
humble
he's got
champion.
All the skills in the world, but super aggressive as well. And doesn't make excuses when he loses. He's a legend, mate. He's someone you should look up to as an athlete, mate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 40, but he is 40 years old. Mm. He's been around for a long time. Talking to 38-year-old former UFC vet Matt Mitrione, who's also played
Matt
in the NFL.
Matt Mitrione,
who's Irish and Italian, obviously.
Oh, fiery!
Which is what New York's made of. So yeah, obviously that's right. The crowd was pretty pumped up for him. But you can't really. No one was really booing Fedor at the same time.
Yep.
He's also played for the New York Giants in the NFL back in 2002 before he took up MMA. So the guy's a super athlete.
Yep.
It was, you know, feeling each other out. The both guys are pretty cautious. They're both bangers. Both of them got scored a right hand double knockdown. Mitrione recovered a little bit quicker, jumped on Fedor and got the knockout.
That's right.
But that will be a gif for the ages. Both guys landed exactly the same time. Hit the deck almost exactly the same way, but the younger man recovered a bit quicker and was able to get in a better position, landed a bomb of a right hand. It is a bit sad to see Fedor like this. He's not what he used to be. Mm. I looked at a highlight reel of him. That's a lot
I
of people
saw,
put
I saw
up.
You like that on Facebook, I watched it. It was
and
insane.
I've seen it 20 times, man.
Yeah.
And it was just, he's nothing on what he used to be. Yeah. You look at him in 2004.
The old grey mare, eh?
You look at him in 2004, still rocking the dad bod,
yeah.
But just ice cold Terminator, man, and just so aggressive. So I hope he hangs it up. He reckons he's got one more fight left on his Bellator contract,
yep.
And he'd be making a lot of money. I reckon he's going to have that one more fight. He said he wanted to retire in Bellator, so I think he's going to have that one more and that'll be it.
Yep.
So, moving on to the actual main event, Chael Sonnen, Wanderlei Silva. As we said last week, grudge match, 7 years in the making. It went pretty much as I expected. Chael controlled pretty much the whole fight, except for getting dropped once with a bomb of a right hand. Mm. But both guys looked like they were coming, getting heavily drug tested. They don't look anything like they used to look like. You look at Wanderlei in the old Pride Days 10 years
jacked.
Ago. There was no neck. He just went shoulder and just like a triangle trap to his temple. It looked awesome. Elo. But yeah, Chael won unanimous points decision. But the bad blood wasn't over. Usually guys shake hands and that's the end of it. Wanderlei shoved Chael in the back during his post-fight interview in which he actually went on to pay out Wanderlei and Tito Ortiz, the last guy that he fought, and call out Fedor. And in true Chael heel bad guy style, finish it off with, "And God, I hate New York." Imagine saying that in the middle of Madison Square Garden, man. You'd be you'd get death threats galore.
Wow.
So that was actually very entertaining. There was some really holy shit moments during that. So I reckon for a pay-per-view, it'd be interesting to see what numbers they do. Anything more than 300,000 is considered a success.
Yep.
So,
well, if they put that one on their next one, if they can get the same sort of fight lineup, we'll be sensational, you would say.
Yeah, well, that's going to be hard to match because most of the other guys, that was their, mate, Wanderlei, Chael, and Fedor, that's their big guns.
Yeah,
that's
so
right.
So it's going to be hard to match.
What they need to do as well in Bellator, I think, Benny, and you can tell me what you think, but they need to start building up their own stars and their own brand.
I was
going to
say, maybe they'll be
not having the old
They do have that, but the guys just.
But
at
they're
the
not on that stage,
have,
though.
Exactly.
That's the thing. And that's
they don't have
the
name recognition.
Maybe there'll be a youngish Viking heavyweight from Australia coming through the ranks soon.
Mr. Masters, perhaps that is correct.
Just show me the Viacom money. So moving on to the UFC Fight Night 1.
Hang on, do we want to hear the bit from the post press conference?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, we're going to play that.
This is Chael.
Mate, you make me do all this work.
Cool. Wasn't drugged up, Scotty, for once. Who wasn't on the
question is for Chael Sonnen. Why all the hate on the New York City crowd? They were chanting "Fuck you, Tito" for you.
Is that what they were saying?
Yeah.
Oh well, then I might have to reconsider things. I couldn't hear that. I didn't know they were saying that. Tito is a really bizarre guy. You know, I just lost to him. You never rub a guy's face in it. You just don't do that. I'm getting ready to fight, and Tito's flipping me off and yelling terrible things at me. I just thought it was really bizarre. But if I could make one comment, aside from my fight, if I may make one comment. Tonight, for me, this is the fan of me speaking. Tonight belongs to one guy, and that is Douglas Lima. He has been the Bellator highlight reel for years. He has been disrespected. If you understand how good Lorenz Larkin is, and I do, the message of tonight for me as a fan is Lima versus McDonald. That is the one thing that came out of tonight, and I really hope you guys write that.
Thanks, brother. It means a lot to you.
I mean
that.
Fyodor, Чайл вас вызвал на поединок. Вы готовы с ним встретиться?
So, Fedor, the question is that Chael actually challenged you for the match. Do you agree just to meet with him in the match?
Но у нас разные весовые категории.
But we're in different weight divisions.
Chael, would you gain some weight to meet Fedor?
Yeah, man, I don't get into weigh-ins. And I would like to say this. I would never kick a guy when he's down. I respect Fedor. That was my way of pulling him back up. That match that he had could have gone either way. Mitrione's a rough son of a bitch, and people just don't understand that. And, I mean, yeah, but he had a double knockdown, and Fedor was recovered, and Mitrione was recovered. I mean, all sorts of a mess was out there. I do want to make that clear, though. I respect Fedor, but I think that he and I's paths are going to cross sooner or later. Fedor gave up 20 pounds tonight to fight Mitrione. The difference between Fedor and I is less than that. So I wouldn't complain about size. Fedor didn't complain about taking on Mitrione and going up the size. I wouldn't complain with the discrepancy in our weight.
And that was Chael. Yeah. All right. So moving on to the UFC Fight Night 112, the 38-year-old BJ Penn, the former lightweight and welterweight champion of the UFC, took on Dennis Siver, who in the words of Conor McGregor is a midget gremlin-looking steroid head. BJ Penn lost again the fifth time in a row.
It's a sad decline.
He hasn't won in 7 years. Mm. Now, just a side note, his nickname's BJ, as in like Baby J, because he's... Yeah. But why would you nickname someone BJ when his real name is JD? That's his name, JD Penn, spelt phonetically, J-A-Y-D-E-E Penn.
Mm.
So you've gone from JD to BJ. Mm. Anyway, thought that was more interesting than you guys. Sorry.
You know what that is?
Shut the gate, that's
when,
it.
That's when I do a number in the top five and you just look at me blankly.
I squeeze out a laugh sometimes. Yeah. Fucking interest, man. Anyway, so...
Oh, back to BJ.
So back to Now, Dennis Siver is 38 years old in his own right, and he's no world beater,
Yeah. Obviously.
Mate, BJ was rich before he even started fighting. He comes from a rich family in Hawaii. Yeah, mate, it's time to hang it up, mate. You're a legend. You've been a legend for 10 years, mate. It's time to go, mate. So moving on to the next fight, the 9-0 light heavyweight Dominic Reyes, he's 27 years old, undefeated, continued his streak of finishes against the Danish 20-fight veteran with an awesome round one TKO. Mm-hmm. 30 seconds, mate. This guy is an absolute gun. Keep your eyes on him. Dominic Reyes is his name. He is a weapon. 9-0, 9 finishes, submissions, KOs. He's got it all.
Yep.
Absolute weapon. Now, moving on to the chicks. We had Felice Herrig and former Muay Thai fighter, who's a really good kickboxing chick, Justine Quiche. Now, the record books are going to say Herrig won on our unanimous points, but everyone's going to remember the fight as the girl that shit herself.
Yes, that's true.
Which is actually pretty sad because she's, as I said, mate, she's really well known in Muay Thai. And during the fight, this Felice Herrig had a rear naked choke. You could see her throat was getting crushed.
Yeah.
And, mate, she gutted it out. And to her credit, mate, she survived right to the last minute.
And then she
shit herself. And I mean, I think we'll talk about it off air, but I don't know how that happens, man. Because I'm wearing like three pairs of
undies. No, you mentioned that at the start of the show.
To hold my, junk bits. In.
Yep.
What, your defecation in?
Yeah, so if I shit myself,
yeah, no one's
nothing's
gonna
getting out unless it's a f***ing cow pat. But to her credit, she just tweeted after it, shit happens, and former Muay...
good on her, she was really good about it.
Mate, yeah. Absolutely.
But what else can you do? The world's seen it, it's on camera. Well, you know it's going to be a meme, it's going to be...
Yeah, but there's a lot of girls. There's a lot of girls that wouldn't handle... There's a lot of people that wouldn't handle that very well. It has happened before with Tim Sylvia, but you couldn't see it actually in the ring. But Aussie Muay Thai legend, Kaylee Reese from Perth, she's a top chick. We fought on the same card back in 2013. She knows it very well, and she said, if anyone can handle this with grace and be able to laugh at it and move on, it's definitely her. So good for her.
Nice.
Now moving on, the former welterweight champion, Johnny Hendricks, had his second fight at middleweight after missing weight three times at welterweight. Missed weight again.
Again, yeah.
At middleweight. So 7 kilos difference and you're still missing weight. He did not look good at all. He's won, after winning the title, he's won only 2 out of his last 9 fights. So his fall from grace has been astonishing. And he got TKO'd by UFC veteran Tim Boesch, who goes by the Barbarian.
Yep.
I like his style. He's not too lean, bit of a gut, a lot of similarities with this guy. And, mate, yeah, round one, knocked him out, landed a head kick and finished off with hands right near the shit stain on the ring. I think they sell the canvases to people because some gyms have.
Oh, there'd be some
up.
German freak out there that would want to buy it.
For sure.
When's the auction start?
Stinking. I'm stinking. So moving on to the main event. It was Kevin Lee versus Chisea. Everyone remembers him from their press conference a couple of months ago where Chisea said, yeah, your mum's going to be sitting in front row. She's going to see me kick your ass or words to that effect.
Yep.
And Chisea's, don't talk about my mum. Anyway, they had a bit of a quick punch on at the press conference. Now, very anticlimactic finish. It was a pretty poor referee stoppage. Lee had a rear naked choke on Chisea. But it wasn't the best stoppage because you could see Chisea protested the stoppage straight away.
Yeah.
But for a fraction of a second, it did look like he went limp. But most referees, when you see someone limp, they grab an arm and just say, oh, are you awake? Or
yeah.
Are you just riding out the time? Because there's only a few seconds left in the round. So immediately in the ring, they agreed to have a rematch in Lee's hometown of Detroit
yep.
in December. So I dare say we're going to be seeing that again. But also on top of that, Lee was also on the UFC on Fox, getting interviewed straight after the show and had words with Tony Ferguson as well. So he's picking fights all over the place. But I dare say Chisea is going to get the rematch of Detroit in December.
Yeah, nice.
So that's it, mate. We've got our bad stoppages, falls from grace, and shit stains in the ring, which is a lot more of a positive finish than I have in the last
great
two episodes.
That's true.
I'm quite proud of myself.
Great big
proud
of myself. Mate. Fantastic.
Nice. Thanks, mate.
Thanks to the Butcher Shop, Dixon and Kayleen.
You've downloaded the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast
with Scotty Masters, Ben the Governor Edwards, and Steve Payos.
God bless the interwebs.
Need advice?
You've come to the wrong place. But Scotty and Ben will have a crack at your conundrum anyway. It's listener question time.
It is listener question time, and this one from Michael Clark on our Facebook. Let's put this one to you, Stevie, because I don't know if Benny will have an answer on this one because we know he's not a huge rugby nut.
What do we got this week, Scotty?
What do you think needs to be done to be able to fix this shithole the ARU has put themselves in?
Oh,
I know. Like it's a loaded question,
fantastic
isn't it?
Fantastic question, mate. Yeah. That's good. Okay. Great question. I think there's a couple of things that the ARU have in their power that they can do, and there's things that they don't have in their power that they can control. The thing that they don't have in their power they can control is the nature of the super competition.
Yep.
And the problem is that Australian rugby needs to hurry up and get their decision made on which team is going to go.
Correct.
They need to get it in a situation where the four teams can try and hang on to their talent a bit more and basically get that super rugby competition sorted. It's got its own problems as well, but that's where the ARU can't do anything about it. Places where I think they can definitely improve, the player retention system has to be looked at, number one. They need to clarify completely what's going on with the rules about who can play overseas, what their wallaby appearance status is,
yep.
and how that's going to work with their selection and all that sort of stuff. I think that the ARU could have a look at the way the New Zealand system is set up as well, a centralised model
that the New Zealand Rugby Union
have in terms of player management and also the second tier comp in New Zealand being so strong.
Yep.
What you could look at doing is introducing a draft type system, and if it's not a draft...
Like the AFL.
Yeah. And the NRL doesn't have a draft per se, but they've got a strong 20 system in the way that the players come through. You look at the way the NBA structured baseball, all these draft competitions where you get... I think that's something, talent... Yeah. Identification-wise needs to be looked at. Mm. I think if you had a salary cap as well, the same way the NRL does and the same way that you have in the AFL and all these sort of competitions, the NBA has a salary cap as well. Mm. But the problem is that doesn't tie in with the way the Super Rugby competition is because you've got three different administrative bodies. You've got, it is sans are as such, but you've got the each individual country in terms of the South African Rugby Board, New Zealand Rugby, RFU, and then you've got Australian, ARU as well. So there's issues there where you can have it, which will help, and the ones that are out of the means as well. I think a transparent wage structure would help as well. And by that, I mean, you can see, you look at the way it is overseas, especially in places like the NBA, you know what a min contract is, you know what a max contract is. And if they did that in the ARU as well, you could see what the base level would be for certain players, incentive-based things.
Sounds like they've got a lot of things they got to fix.
Well, they do.
Good question.
I think your first point, though, Stevie, is the best one. Get rid of that extra team we've got at the moment.
I think that way,
the good players from that team, and it's only a handful, are going to filter through the other teams remaining. It's going to bolster those teams, which will in turn create a better outcome for the Wallabies, because you're going to have better players in positions fighting for those jobs.
Correct, Scotty. And what you'll do is you'll also avoid the cherry-picking situation as well of teams just getting those best players into teams to make them up,
yeah,
as opposed to having, you know, your four teams. And even Super Rugby, in my opinion, was at its strongest when it was back in the Super 12 days. And you had three Aussie teams, Queensland, New South Wales, ACT, Brumbies.
Yeah.
You still had the five New Zealand teams, but they were unbelievable.
Yeah,
they were so strong it didn't matter, Scotty. Remember we talked about these?
Yeah.
And then you had your four South African teams to make up the Super 12.
Yeah.
And they're three big teams there, the Sharks, the Stormers.
Japan and Argentina are
it's getting silly the way they've set that up. So the way that the old Super 12 was is you had enough teams filled up with the best players.
Of course.
But everyone stayed in Super Rugby before the whole and what I meant before by introducing a transparent wage structure is because you've got teams like Toulon coming in going, "Hey mate, here's €1.5 million a season, come and play for me." It's out there, it's in the public, they're like, okay, eyes turned.
Yeah.
Well, what are you getting playing for rugby here? Well, it just depends. What's your base contract? What's the minimum they can earn in Australian rugby? What's the incentive base? I know if you play for the Wallabies, I think it's about $30,000 a game. It's similar to what you get for State of Origin.
Yeah.
So you know what that incentive based bonus is, but what are you getting for your week in, week out? What are you getting for your naming rights? Cricket Australia is going through this big problem at the moment.
We mightn't have a test team.
Exactly right. Did you see that in the paper today? Sorry for the segue, Clarkie, on the cricket, but they had the alternate test team if the dispute wasn't sorted.
It's looking back to 1977 when the World Series cricket split.
You probably know a bit more about that was unbelievable.
Without World Series cricket, probably wouldn't have had guys like Alan Border come through as quickly as they did.
Yes.
And people like that. So it'll be interesting to see what happens there.
So thanks for the question. Are the Pumas no good anymore?
Oh, the Pumas have been terrible.
Yeah.
I thought the Pumas were awesome.
They're a good international team, Benny, but the problem is, the Jaguars have had a better season this year, but still, they won't be in finals contention to actually make a difference.
No.
And that's the problem, because a lot of the best Argentinians, mate, they're playing in France, they're playing in Italy, they're playing in the European competition, which is so well
for
set up.
For truckloads of cash.
Because the European competition is the same way they have it with the football over there, the soccer. It's not like here where you've got Super Rugby, all these teams in one league. Over there, you've got the English League, the English Premiership, the best teams then go into the Heineken, well, it's the old Heineken Cup, I think it's called something different now, but they go into the European Cup where they play the best from France, Ireland, Wales, England in like a Champions League type tournament. So you're always getting that continual up and down, and that's where we're struggling as well at the moment. And you know, the players at the moment, Checker's got this false belief we're going to beat the All Blacks in a month or two's time, and good on him for having some confidence, but we are zero chance of beating them.
If we beat them, that'll be one of the biggest upsets in history.
Scotty, that's America's Cup type of thing. That's 2001 blitters low for us. I mean, it's been so elusive for us, but a great question, Clarky.
Yeah,
thanks,
Clarky,
for that. That's
nice
a great one.
If you've got a question for us, folks, whether it be sport or whether it just be anything else.
Relationships.
It could be. Please don't ask us about relationships.
We can have a sex talk.
Don't ask me.
No, it'll just be 3 minutes of Herb Alpert and the Tijuana Brass. No, but just hit us up on Facebook. You can do that, facebook.com/uppercutpodcast, or you can shoot it through on the email uppercutpodcast@gmail.com. Right now, it's song number two for this week's podcast.
What a great band.
Oh, man, I'm so looking forward to this gig. The Gundaroo Music Festival is in its fourth year, I think, now. It raises money for Motor Neurone New South Wales after one of the local guys out at Gundaroo died from motor neurone disease.
Fantastic.
My band, we're playing on this.
The money raising, that is.
Yeah, that's right. When I said fantastic.
Yeah, not the death.
I think everyone understands what you mean there, Stevie. Super
Thanks
Jesus,
for clarifying.
Super Jesus headlining this year, but about 10 bands. Starts at 10 in the morning, goes to 10 o'clock at night. Fireworks. It's a great family day out and all
great
funds.
Great Aussie band, mate.
So you can go to Gundaroo Music Festival on Facebook and find all the details. And Sarah and the boys from the Super Jesus will be headlining. And Secret Agent Man, let's get stuck into it.
Stop believing as you lay awake, thinking it over.
It's come to that point in the show where we do either a high five or an uppercut of the week, and I think we've got both again this week.
We do.
We're trying to bring the yin, the yang, the bad, the good this year, I think.
I haven't brought shit to this segment this year.
No, so...
just shit mate, to you, do you know what? Your own segment,
do you know what, dude? You're focusing on fighting a guy that's going to be 15 kilos heavier than you, so we'll let you sort of slack off
first time.
Until... yeah, that's right. And we know how good that one was, so I'm predicting big things from this next fight from Benny. So after the fight, when you're back after the fight, you've got to bring something to this segment, all right?
I will.
Stevie, you've got the high five on three, boys. One, two, three. What do you got for us?
Was it?
That was like
I completely butchered that.
That was like Riggs and Murtaugh. Yeah. On three, oh, one, two, three, then we clap.
Oh, yeah.
One, two, three, there we go. Yeah, sorry about that, boys. Completely ruined that. Just wanted to make a quick mention. We did talk about it earlier in the show. Diamond Dave Toussaint this week, fighting on the undercard. As you said, Benny, you saw him, good mates with him. Benny and me and Scotty came in last week. Fantastic young man. And basically fighting on the undercard, Manny Pacquiao, Jeff Horn this
week. The first
weekend.
Fight on the ESPN coverage in Lives the States.
That's
in
correct.
America.
In America. So
fighting American boxing royalty.
Yep.
Absolutely. Yep. The son of Sugar Shane Mosley, Shane Mosley Jr., comes in with very similar records. So I just wanted to say good luck to Dave. He's holding the flag, just like Benny, our fighting sons, along with Duke as well, our three big fighting sons in town. So
it's mostly me and Dave.
Actually, you know what? With Steve being away next 2 weeks, do we bring Didier in next week?
Yeah, bring him in.
Yeah, we'll bring him in. Bring him on.
Just let him rant for 10 minutes.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, yeah.
Tell just us talk about himself we'll for 10 go, minutes.
On the count of three, one, two, three, Bon Jovi. Yeah.
that's a high five. Now we move on to the uppercut of the week, Scotty, which is coming from yours truly.
Yeah, I couldn't go past this one. My team, the Newcastle Knights. I was very excited sitting here Sunday afternoon. We had to go to a family do.
It was in the bag.
So I saw the first half of the game, then had to drive over to Ford. But we scored 5 tries in 13 minutes. The Ross dog was on fire. Yeah. I did say to the wife just before we left the house, I went, you watch, these numpties will find a way to lose this game. And we did. We lost.
Lo and behold.
Oh, just so shocking, disappointing. Mate. That would have put 4 points between us and the West Tigers.
Yep.
And I've got a few mates that follow the West Tigers.
Spoon contention.
Morning, Timmy Cecil. It'd be so nice to see him disappointed. But there's a chance. Well, we play the West Tigers this weekend.
Oh,
so
wow.
It's the battle for the spoon. It's the spoon battle. 2017 is what it is. So, Benny, will you fire up and
I'm
give
ready,
the
man.
Newcastle Knights an uppercut for me? Oh! Beautiful. Perler.
You right there, mate?
Yeah, I got fast hands. Fastest hands I've had in years, mate.
Fast hands, still gaunt.
You're listening to the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. Thanks to The Butcher Shop, Dixon and Kayleen.
Well, sadly, though we've come to an end.
I look good for me.
Of another podcast. Benny, you look great.
Benny, you're looking good, man.
Now, Stevie.
You big gaunt bastard.
I think we've just realised we're going to have Duke Didier in maybe next week, if Ben can line that up, because you're away for the next 2 weeks. So where are you off to, man?
So I'm up in Brisbane with Dave over the weekend for the Pacquiao Horn
in the crowd,
fight.
In your tuxedo, just in case.
You're just waiting for Buffer to come and guts, aren't you?
I tried to meet my dad just before we went on air to make sure he taped the back page, because Michael Buffer is on the back page tonight.
Oh,
here,
nice.
I love so. Yeah,
oh, they replayed about midnight, I think.
Yeah, replayed it 4 times before midnight, I think. So I want to see the Buff man in action. But yeah, Scotty, you're right. I'll be there. Scotty.
I'm ready. I'm Ben, mate.
Person.
You got pugilistic dementia, man.
Yeah, you're looking good, man.
I don't know who he's complimenting.
Drugs everywhere. Yeah. This show's going beautifully. What was I going to say?
So you're up there. You're up there for the fight.
Yeah, that's correct. Thank you.
You're hoping Michael
Buffer. That's why I was looking at Scotty Benny Edwards.
You'll be throwing banana peels at Buffer.
That's it. Making
out.
Sure the Buffer man doesn't.
Did anything come of the Bruce and Michael? Do you know any more news on that on the Conor?
Well, that's for the Conor. No, nothing yet. But you think that's got to happen?
That would be surely any a time ever.
Surely the two of them would call each other. Come on, get me on.
No other.
Well, Bruce manages Michael.
That's correct.
So they'd be, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And the other brother, Brian's involved in Buffer Enterprise.
There's another one?
So, yeah, right.
Yeah, there's a third. There's a,
did he get a mention
in the book? Does he have tonsils like treacle as well?
Bruce's full brother.
Well, Bruce's voice isn't that good. He said that in his book. He goes, I'm so enthusiastic.
That's it. He covers.
Michael's got the voice.
He doesn't have the honey tones of his brother.
Of payoff.
But he's very, very, he's very exuberant.
Oh, mate, he tore a cruciate ligament in UFC 100.
Did
he? Yeah, he did the Buffer 360. Like a jumping complete circle.
Yeah.
Tory's knee.
Benny's been
announcing GSP. George say, yeah. Yeah, like Tori's limped out of the ring, went straight to surgery that night.
That's fantastic.
He finished the show, though.
Yeah, absolutely.
That was
nice. So, yeah, and then you're off. Where are you off to after
that? Yeah, off to Bangkok after that. Bangkok and Pattaya going there to see some of the guys at Max Muay Thai, which will be good.
Yeah.
And try and have a couple of days off, actually. It's been a pretty busy year for me.
What
so
do you
far,
want to...
So.
Potentially announcing stuff? Or a bit of a
just talking to them about a few things at the moment. That's all preliminary stuff.
Yeah, nice, man.
We'll see what happens with
living
that.
Living the dream.
Saw their show and went and spoke with them all about 6 months ago, which was brilliant. So back there for a bit, and then I got Arsenal in Sydney after that. So I'll be back in Sydney for a few days to watch a Gunner. So my English mates over there who look after me and looked after me for the cup final,
they're all coming over.
Down. So, and I'll say this with all respect, but it's like the pre-season tour that they're coming is not something I'm overly interested in because they don't bring a full team and they'll be just taking the piss versus Sydney and the Wanderers. But, you know, to show those guys around Australia because they'd never come otherwise unless Arsenal here will be good. So,
just start talking up drop bears and things like that.
Yeah, that's it. All those sort of things. So, I'll be back in 2 weeks though, boys.
Nice work.
Be back on the potty.
Beautiful. All right. Well, that's about it for us this week. Thanks again to The Butcher Shop, our wonderful sponsors, Ian, Sess and Lynn and the rest of the crew there for looking after Benny and his lead up to the big fight as well.
Yeah, they've been awesome, mate. Yeah, very grateful.
Nice
Butcher
work.
Shop fueled.
All right. Well,
and Gaunt.
We'll be back into
it. Looking good for me.
Looking good for him.
Episode 4 next week. Me, Benny, maybe Duke Didier, probably just me and Benny. I don't know if I can put up with Duke for an hour. We'll see how we go.
We'll record his segment and kick him out.
Yeah, all right, let's do that.
Jeez, it'd be a funny episode, though.
We'll get him in. We'll get him in, Duke. He wanted to come on. He wanted to be first guest, so Dave DeSaint beat him at that. So he's now Canberra's third favourite fighting
that's
son,
right.
So we'll get him in.
Well, it's only Benny and Dave, as Benny says. So.
It's just going to be me and Duke arguing over who's number one, man.
That's fine. That's all right. I'll referee it. You get cocky.
You'll challenge me to a wrestle. I'll
That's
challenge
fine.
You to a boxing fight.
Yeah. And I'll kick you with my moon boot. It'll be great. All right, boys. Have a great weekend.
See you, folks.
Get a big
dog. Oh, I got
in
early.
That's okay.
I'm just going to run with that.
See you, Stevie.
See you later, boys.
Come on, Benny. I already said it, man.
Well, that's a wrap. Not sure if we solved the problems of the world, but if we didn't, Ben can put those problems to sleep with a well-timed ride.
Scotty can write a scathing diatribe and give them another tongue-lashing.
And Steve can get old Barry White and seduce the world into thinking everything is going to be just fine. That will happen in the next episode of the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast.
Thanks to The Butcher Shop, Dixon and Kayleen. Till next time.
So long.